भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय भगवते ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, seventh canto, entitled Prahlad Instructs His Demoniac Schoolmates. And we're reading. Yes? 7:10. No, no. Wrong page. 7:10. So we had the wrong page. Okay. 7:10:7. This chapter is entitled Prahlad, the Best Among Exalted Devotees. Jadi dasyasi me kama bharang tham Vadadarshava Vadadarsha Kamanam Vridhi Asamroham Bhavatas Tu Brine Bhara Yadi Dasyasi Me Kaman Bharamstam Vadadarshava Kamanam Nidyasam Roham Bhavatastu Vrinevaram Yadi Dasyasi Me Kaman Bharamstam Varadarshava Kamanam Nidyasam Roham Avatastu vrinevaram Yadi dasyasi me kama Bharamstvam varadarshava Kamanam nidyasam roha Avatastu vrinevaram Me, kama, anything desirable, varan, as your benediction, tvam, you, bharadarishava, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can give any benediction, Kamana, of all desires for material happiness, Vridhi, within the core of my heart, Asangroha, no growth, Bhavataha, from you, to then, Brine, I pray for Bharam, such a benediction. Translation. O my Lord, best of the givers of benediction, if you at all want to bestow a desirable benediction upon me, then I pray from your Lordship that within the core of my heart there be no material desires. Why don't we repeat that? O my Lord, best of the givers of benediction, if you all at want to bestow a desirable benediction upon me, then I pray from your Lordship that within the core of my heart there be no material desires. Purport. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us how to pray for benedictions from the Lord. He said, Nadanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadish kamaye mama janmani jamanishvare bhavatad bhakti rahai tuki twayi. O my Lord, I do not want from you any amount of wealth, nor many followers, nor a beautiful wife, for these all are materialistic desires. But if I have to ask you for any benediction, I pray that in whatever forms of life I may take my birth, under any circumstances, I will not be bereft of your transcendental devotional service. Devotees are always on the positive platform, in contrast to the Mayavadis, who want to make everything impersonal or void. One cannot remain void, sunyavadi, rather one must possess something. Therefore, the devotee on the positive side wants to possess something, and this possession is very nicely described by Prahlad Maharaj, who says, quote, if I must take some benediction from you, I pray that within the core of my heart there be no material desires. The desire to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not at all material. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, when I read this verse, I thought what was going on here was quite obvious, but I would like to state it anyway, that the Lord is offering his devotee a benediction, and the devotee doesn't want to take a benediction. So you have a, what's the English word? Two things. Kind of predicament. It's like a, we call it a catch-22. Don't live, don't die. You can't do anything. One side wants to give, but the other side wants to give. And one side doesn't want to take, and the other side doesn't want to take. So, I'm trying to give, you don't want to take. You're trying to give to me, I don't want to take. So, it shows the nature of love between Krishna and his devotees. Now, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, the Ananyas Chintayanto Mam verse, where Krishna says, I preserve what you have and I give what you lack. Krishna, it's a great pleasure for Krishna to give to his devotees. So now we have a problem because the devotee doesn't want Krishna to give anything. But Krishna likes to give and the devotee doesn't want to take because the devotee just wants to give. So now what do? We have a problem, right? Because we don't want to deny Krishna his desire to give to his devotee, but we don't want to take. So that's what's going on here, right? So finally Prahlad surrendered. He said, okay, if you, because Lord Nrisimhadeva said, no, I want to give you, please take. No, I don't want anything, please take. No, I don't want anything. And I believe in another yuga, Prahlad, he kind of outsmarted Lord Nrisimhadeva. He said, yeah, I'll ask for a benediction, and the benediction I'll ask for is that I'll never ask for a benediction. So, you know. So, when I was reading this, then I was thinking that Prabhupada said there's competition between the Lord and his devotee. So I thought, well, in service to you, I stopped chanting my japa and I went home to find those statements of Prabhupada. And I was debating, should I or shouldn't I? Because, you know, I didn't want to stop chanting japa. But I was thinking of all of you. And so I thought, well, let's find those quotes so we can read them in class. It's very similar to this verse. So this is from a purport, 3rd canto, 8th chapter, text 27. Devotional service to the Lord is very much obliging to Him. In other words, Krishna feels obligated to repay his devotees, because that's normal, right? If someone serves you, you naturally feel obligated. So Krishna is the source of all obligation. He's the source of everything, so he must be the source of obligation, right? So Krishna also feels obligated to his devotee. Now we think, I'm not even a devotee. Yeah, I'm doing some service. Why would Krishna be obligated? But he feels that way. And many, many times, Srila Prabhupada thanked his disciples for the service they rendered. And he would say things like, without you, I couldn't do this. I'm very much obliged to you. I thank you very much for helping me, so on and so forth. So it's natural to feel obliged when one serves, even if the disciple serves the guru. The service is for the benefit of the disciple, but the guru feels obligated. Similarly, our service to Krishna is for our benefit, because he doesn't need it. But he feels obligated. Isn't that amazing? Why does he feel obligated? Because if that service is sprinkled with a little bhakti, then that's it. Krishna's heart melts. It's not because of the service. It's because of the bhakti. It's because of the mood. So now Krishna becomes controlled by the bhakti. Therefore, he becomes obligated. Therefore, he wants to repay. Just as we want to repay when someone shows affection to us. There are many transcendentalists in different fields of spiritual activities, but devotional service to the Lord is unique. Devotees do not ask anything from the Lord in exchange for their service. Even the most desirable... Well, this is amazing. I have a story to tell you. I've told before, but it's an interesting story. When I was 13 or 14... I had a friend, and this friend's father was in the motorcycle business. He owned a Honda dealership. And his father built him or got him a go-kart. And a go-kart is a little cart, motorized cart. It's like very low to the ground, a metal frame, and it has a little motor in it, right? Like that, right? So if you're a 12, 13, 14-year-old boy, you can't drive a car. You can't drive a motorcycle. You can't drive anything with a motor. But sometimes he would take his go-kart and we would drive up and down the street. Right? So we didn't actually like him, but we liked his go-kart. So I'd say, can I come over to your house after school? He said, yeah. And then we would sit around and we found him quite boring. So we would say, can we ride your go-kart? And after a while, he picked up on the fact that no one liked him, but they liked his go-kart. So he would say, no, not today. And everybody stopped coming to his house. Right? So, why did I say that? Because most people like Krishna. Why? For the relationship or for what he gives? Yeah, I like your money. I like your go-kart. As far as you're concerned, I'll tolerate you as long as I can. You know, I'll tolerate an hour in the temple to get some blessing. Something like that. So Prabhupada's saying devotees are not like that. They're different. Prabhupada uses the word unique. Devotees do not ask anything in the Lord in exchange for service. So I go to a person's house, I'm nice to them, and it's time to ask, can we take out your go-kart? So I'm nice to Krishna, and then it's time to ask. Krishna, I've served you. Can I ask you for something material? And then Krishna feels, oh no. Like if you're very rich and someone makes friends with you, like a devotee makes friends with you, and after a while you pop the question, can you give a donation? Oh no. Why did you have to ask that? That ruined the relationship, right? When Shyamala Sundar asked George Harrison, on Prabhupada's request, to print the Krishna book, Shyamala Sundar didn't want to ask because he didn't want to ruin the relationship. And when he asked, immediately George Harrison was let down. But Krishna, even if you know the story, Krishna protected. And there was a big storm, and the lights went off right after he asked. And George got the message that he should give, but initially he was let down. Because, I thought we were friends, and now you're asking me for money, like everybody else does. So he was disappointed. So devotees doing service, Krishna, can you give me something material? And Krishna's like, take it and get out of here. That's Krishna's mood. Yeah, it's over there, go take it. I don't want to see your face. That's how Krishna feels. I thought we had a relationship based on love and affection. Oh, you want money, you want fame, you want... Yeah, you can have that, I have plenty. I could give you all you want. Go take it, it's over there. Very disappointing for Krishna. Sisi Krishna Balaram ki jai, Sisi Radhe Shyam Vishaka, Lalita Vishaka ki jai, Sisi Gauranitai ki jai. Sometimes we forget that just because Krishna is God, it doesn't mean he's not a sentient being. Well, why would he care if he gives me something? You know, he's got unlimited wealth, so if he gives me a little, what's the problem? And you remember the story of Sudama Vipra. So Sudama Vipra did not want to go to see Krishna to ask for anything. But his wife asked him to ask. And she gave all they could afford, which was some chip rice. And he didn't want to offer that to Krishna because he felt it's not suitable. And the whole reason his wife thought he was going was to ask Krishna for some money because we're very poor. And he didn't want to do it. And he had no money, he had nothing. He could barely live, and he didn't want to ask Krishna for anything because he didn't want to ruin the relationship. And then we know the story. Krishna grabbed the rice and he ate it. He said, this rice is delicious. Why? Because in that rice, it was saturated with love. And if you know anything about Krishna's nature, Krishna, like when somebody has a weakness, you know, at least in America, we say he's a sucker for this. Like he's a sucker for chocolate cake and ice cream. Like if you put chocolate cake and ice cream in front of him, he's a sucker for it means he can't resist it. Even if every doctor in the universe told him don't eat it, he's a sucker for it, he eats it. He's a sucker for women. He's a sucker for this sport. He just gives into it. So Krishna is a sucker for love. If you give Krishna love, he can't resist it. He's completely controlled by it. Yes? That's his nature. So what we're learning from this verse is we're understanding the nature of Krishna's heart, which we must understand to be devotees, because that's the person we're serving. And we're also understanding the nature of the heart of a devotee, because we have to understand both. A lot of times, or a lot of devotees come to Krishna consciousness and they get the externals. They get the externals done, but they don't get the internals. Like, what is the mood? What is the attitude? What is the nature? What is the consciousness of a devotee? You know, I'm told, rise at this time, take bath, come into the temple, chant your rounds. I do all that. But what's the consciousness? What's the nature? What's the heart of the devotee? That we have to understand, and we also have to understand the heart of Krishna to know what pleases him. Otherwise, we could displease Krishna by asking something material. Now, Gajendra. You all remember Gajendra. Gajendra had a problem. What was Gajendra's problem? There was a crocodile holding on to him. Kind of a problem, right? And he couldn't get free. And he didn't know what to do. So finally, what did he do? Who did he turn to? Krishna. Why did he turn to Krishna? Because who else is going to get a crocodile off your leg? And so Prabhupada says there in the purport that Gajendra was, it was a predicament, because a devotee doesn't want to ask anything other than pure bhakti from Krishna. He doesn't want to ask. And now Gajendra is stuck in this situation for how long? A year, right? Is it about a year that he finally asked Krishna, please help me? So Prabhupada said he asked, but it was with great reluctance. But he had no one else to ask, because a devotee doesn't want to ask for Krishna, from Krishna. And then Prabhupada said, the householder sometimes in his predicament, he has to maintain his family, and sometimes it's difficult, and sometimes he prays, Krishna, please help me. Please help me put a roof over the head of my family. Please help me get clothes. Please help me whatever I need. So Prabhupada said, it's okay. He said, other grihasthas, it's okay. You can pray. Because you have to maintain a family. So he said, but still there's reluctance, but what to do? We depend on Krishna. But there's reluctance in the heart. Devotee doesn't like to do that. Now, Prabhupada said, the nature of a devotee is that even if he has nothing and he has no food, he won't even ask Krishna for food. Is that amazing? You have no food, you haven't eaten all day. The next day comes, you have no way to get food, and you won't ask Krishna. Because the devotee doesn't want to employ Krishna in his or her service. Is that amazing? A devotee does not like asking Krishna for anything. He just doesn't. Why? Because it ruins the relationship. It ruins the exchange of rasa, of affection. That's why he doesn't like asking. And that was Prahlad's whole point, wasn't it? I don't want to ruin the relationship. Yes? Even the most desirable liberation is refused by devotees, although offered by the Lord. Thus, the Lord becomes a kind of debtor to the devotees, and he can only try to repay the devotees' service with his ever-enchanting smile. So this verse is describing Krishna's smile, and it's saying, this is how Krishna repaid his devotees. So for us, isn't it a fact that the greatest payment Krishna could ever possibly give us is a little taste and a little attraction? Isn't it? Thakur Haridas, 192 rounds, Namacharya. What did he pray for? You would think Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur, has some taste for chanting. I mean, after all, he chants 23 hours a day. He must have some taste. Yes? What did he pray to Mahaprabhu for? Please give me a taste. Amazing. He's praying for taste. So how important is taste and attraction for the devotee? Now some devotees think, oh, but you can't pray for taste because that's selfish. It's not selfish. When the devotee is praying for taste or attraction, he's praying for an attraction to Krishna which would destroy his material life and would spark his bhav. Because ruchi and asakti come before bhav. So if I'm praying, please give me a taste, please give me attraction, it's just the ladder. I'm praying to come to the ladder. Up the ladder to bhav. So, therefore this verse said, Krishna reciprocates with his devotee by his enchanting smile, which then melts the heart of the devotee. And the devotee feels happy that I've got some mercy. We all have this experience, right? You ever got some mercy from the deity, from the holy name, from the Bhagavatam, from Sangha, from the Dham? Of course you have. And how did you feel after you got the mercy? Didn't you feel fortunate? Krishna, thank you. This is better than a million, quadrillion, gazillion rupees. This is better than having the fame of Brahma. This is far surpasses anything of this world. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I feel so fortunate. This is why the devotee doesn't ask for anything material, because he understands that if I have a little attraction, if Krishna gives me a little taste, then that is my great fortune. Yes? The Lord thus becomes a debtor to the devotee, and he can only try to repay his devotee's service with his ever-enchanting smile. So this now, we're understanding the heart of Krishna. Krishna is reciprocating with the devotee, but Krishna feels the devotee's love is so deep, I can't reciprocate. I can only try. Is that amazing? And so therefore we read Krishna's feeling indebted. And indebted means, I can't repay you. He told the gopis, I can't repay you. The devotee's love, Krishna feels it so deeply that he feels, I can't repay it. That's the heart of Krishna. The devotees are ever satisfied by the smiling face of the Lord, and they become enlivened. And by seeing the devotees so enlivened, the Lord himself is further satisfied. So there is a continuous transcendental competition between the Lord and his devotees by such reciprocation of service and acknowledgement. So if you try to satisfy Krishna, what is going to happen? He's going to reciprocate. And when he reciprocates, what are you going to do? You're going to feel indebted and try to reciprocate. And what is he going to do? He's going to try to reciprocate. Now, some of you are sitting here thinking, but I want Krishna. I want bhakti. I want pure devotional service, and I pray for it every day, and I don't have it. So how is Krishna reciprocating? Well, this is an interesting question, and there is an interesting answer. Krishna can only reciprocate to the degree that we can house or contain his reciprocation. And I was thinking this morning of an example that this wouldn't happen. But let's say, for example, I got some special kripa this morning, like something Krishna just decided, today's the day. We're going to drop some bhav in your heart. So now I'm reading this verse about Krishna's love for his devotees. And I can't control myself, and I just start crying, and I can't give class, and I just say, I'm sorry, I can't talk. This is overwhelmed, right? But let's say that mercy, it was so far beyond my level of Krishna consciousness. What would happen? It's going to go all over ISKCON. Mahatma Prabhu was crying nonstop in Bhagavatam class. He couldn't speak. He was exhibiting some special bhav, some mercy. We've never seen this before in ISKCON. This has never happened, right? How is that going to affect me? Devotees are coming up to me everywhere I go. I heard in Vrindavan, you couldn't give class because when you read the verse about the reciprocation between Krishna and his devotees, you just started crying. All right. What am I thinking? If I'm not very advanced, then I start thinking, maybe I'm the most advanced devotee in ISKCON. Because everyone is telling me, aside from Prabhupada, this has never happened to anyone. This happened to Prabhupada several times. I personally saw in Mayapur, Prabhupada stopped speaking in class. He was overwhelmed with love. There was silence. 300, 400, 500 devotees in the temple. Prabhupada choked. Mahatma Prabhu, this has never happened. You're the only one. You might be, I don't know, maybe you're the only really bona fide disciple. So who knows what devotees would think, right? And because I'm not on the stage of Bob, my heart is contaminated with pride. And what happens? I start to become proud. Maybe you're right. Maybe I am the only bona fide disciple. This is why when we want mercy and we're wondering, Krishna, why? I want your darshan. Why you don't give it to me? I have so many anartas. Why you're not removing them? Why? And Krishna's saying, because you're not capable of digesting my mercy. I give you a little bit that you can digest. Little bit. You imagine, you're a bhakta. You move in the temple. Every day you're chanting, Krishna, please, give me your darshan. And a week later, Krishna says, here's my darshan. And then the next day you go, okay, finished. I got the goal. Now I can go out and enjoy. How would you deal with it? Right? How would you deal with that darshan? You've been a devotee for a week. What would you think? You would definitely think, I must be the best devotee in ISKCON. Right? No one else got darshan but me. So Krishna's not going to do that. Krishna's going to say, keep praying, keep chanting, keep going, keep hearing, keep associating, keep going. I'll give you a little bit, in small doses that you can assimilate and remain steady in your bhakti. And as you become more qualified, I will give you more. That's the answer. And that was the answer Prabhupada gave. When he was asked, or when he explained this, he said, Krishna, why he's not giving you love? He said, because you couldn't handle it. You would just become deviated or proud. One time, a devotee asked Prabhupada that Krishna wants to save the world, and we're his devotee, but we have so little. This was in the early days of the movement. We have so little. We have no money. We have so few people. And these other religions, they're very vast. So many temples, churches around the world. So many people, so many resources. Why Krishna is not giving to us? Well, Prabhupada posed a question. He said, this is probably 1969, so you can imagine, very young devotees. Said, if Krishna gave you the world, what would you do with it? Now, you've been a devotee a year, you're 19 years old, Krishna says, here's the world. What would you do? What would you do now? 19 years old, you're going to rule the world. People are coming to you, surrendering, giving you their life, their money, everything. We know we couldn't handle it, but Prabhupada said, if Krishna gave you the world that easily, what would you do? You would do nothing. You'd become lazy. Prabhupada said, you would go to sleep. You know, like the spoiled son. Father gives everything, he doesn't work. Right? There's a story. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was having his brahmacharis collect donations for a project. So they collected all the money for the project, and he spent it on another project. They didn't know that. And then, after all the money was given, he said, you need to go out and collect for this project. And they said, Guru Maharaj, we already collected the money for the project. He said, no, I've spent it on something else. You go collect. And it's like, why? Why? He said, I should always be stretching you. Just keep working harder. Don't be satisfied the work is finished. So he saw that nature. Krishna gives it too easily, we become lazy. At one time, a disciple was overheard saying, by my powerful preaching, so many things are going on in Gaudiya Math. Bhaktisiddhanta heard this. He was very upset. Pride has entered the heart of this disciple. And he understood, probably many disciples are thinking, by my preaching, things are going on. By my power, I'm so Krishna conscious. What a wonderful class I gave. By the power of my words, so much is going on. That's actually Namaparad, to think you're controlling Krishna. You're controlling, you know, the name. I lead kirtan, everyone dances. I'm in control of the name. I'm in control of Vani, Krishna's words. So what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did is he told everyone, do not go out for 1 week, just stay in the temple. And they are thinking, but by my preaching, all the money's coming in. All the produce and the grains are being donated. How will the temple be maintained if I don't go out and preach? So he wanted to curb their pride, but he didn't want to speak the lesson, he wanted to demonstrate the lesson. So he had arranged that so many donations would come that week. And so that week, they were all sitting in the temple doing their bhajan, and the rice came delivered, the boga came delivered, the dal came delivered, the sugar, the ghee, the milk, everything. And they were just watching it. And they understood. We had become proud, thinking, we are making everything happen. And he said, no, you're not making it happen. I'm making it happen. You don't understand that. So let me, there's one other purport I'd like to read. In the transcendental world, there is unlimited competition between the Lord and his servitor. The Lord wants to fulfill his desires unlimitedly, and the devotee also serves him to fulfill his unlimited desires. There is an unlimited oneness of interest between the Lord and his devotees. So, in the interest of not going over time, I could say more. Of course, we could speak forever, but why don't we stop now and see if you have any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu. Yes.
I completely agree that in advancing a devotional service, that a devotee should not ask medical benedictions from Krishna. But Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that Udara Sarva Evete, all of them are magnanimous. So is it, can we say that he is, a person who comes to him for medical benedictions, says, I have nothing to do with you and he's disappointed? Is he not happy that somehow that person has come to him also?
Okay, that's a good question. Krishna says in the 7th chapter, four kinds, chatur vidam, bhajante mam, four kinds of people come. And they come to him. So, is Krishna not happy? And is it, what else? Is the question, is Krishna not happy? And is it?
They are very magnanimous. He appreciates.
Krishna says they're magnanimous because they come to him. And the answer is, Krishna appreciates it when they come to him, but once you come to him and you still think that way, he doesn't appreciate it. So there's a difference. You understand? Like, someone has turned to God. Oh God, I'm in distress. So Krishna says, yes. You have all desire, you have no desire? Come to me. That's good. You want liberation? Come to me. Whatever you want, come to me. All right. But now that you come and I'm giving you mercy, then understand what I want. That I don't want you to ask anymore. Okay, so I'll fulfill it. It's like Ajamil, right? Ajamil. Narayana, save me. Okay. Namabas, right? So someone may think, Narayan, you know, he chanted Narayan. He didn't even... wasn't even chanting Krishna. That's Namabhas, and I'm trying to chant Hare Krishna. I make Namaparad, you know. You know, the Jamil is better. The Muslim, Haram, Namabhas. So if the Muslim chants Haram the rest of his life, he'll only stay in the beginning of Namabhas. To chant Shudhanam, you have to avoid the 10 offenses. But then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, but if you don't know the 10 offenses, how can you make them? Because you really need to know them to avoid them, right? But if you don't know them, you can't avoid them, and if you don't avoid them, you can't go to Shudhanam. So if you remain like Ajamil, you'll only be in the beginning of Namabhas forever. So it's the same thing. All right, you come to Krishna, that's good. You have some desire to free yourself from suffering, you need wealth, or you want knowledge, you want truth, that's fine. When I was a young devotee, you know, they lure us in by saying, you don't have to change your dress. You don't have to shave your head. You just have to chant Hare Krishna. But after a while, they say, when are you going to shave your head and change your dress? Isn't it? You've been coming to the temple every day for so many weeks, like, kya hai, you know, what's wrong with you? Why don't you just move in? You know? So, what it means is that as we come to Krishna for so many reasons and with some confusion, but now we learn what is bhakti, and we learn what pleases Krishna, anyabhilashito shunyam, we learn, I'm not supposed to ask for anything, you know. And I was coming to ISKCON. You know why I joined ISKCON? There were three reasons. I love Bhagavad Gita, I love kirtan, and I didn't want to work. And I don't know which reason was stronger, but not wanting to work was pretty strong. And I saw, this is the way out of here. This is the way out of working. I can just live in an ashram and like, wow, this is great, you know. Go on the street all day, chant, preach, and, you know, I've got my dhoti and my prasadam. So everything's good. So, but then coming to class day after day after day after day, they're talking about pure devotional service. This is what pure devotional service is. So it was kind of like, and my whole mentality had to shift 180 degrees because I didn't completely understand that. But then gradually I understood I'm not supposed to ask Krishna for anything. I'm supposed to do this to please him. So at that point, if I'm ready to take initiation and I'm not in that consciousness, I'm still Krishna relieve me from suffering, then it's Jnana Mishra Bhakti. It should be more pure. At least by second initiation. It definitely should be on that level. Maybe first initiation, not so much, but still, we would hope by first initiation you're not motivated by those motives that brought you there, right? And so that's the process. Okay. Krishna is pushing you from behind, right? Suffering, you try this, you try that, it didn't work. So he's pushing you from behind. But then you come to Krishna consciousness and you get pulled from the front. Now you should do pure devotional service. What is that? That's your own will. The pushing from the back, Krishna did a lot of pushing to get us here, right? Yes? If I could have fallen back and everything was good, I may not be here, but I'd fall back and things were not good. That was Krishna pushing from the back. Now I become a devotee, I have to be pulled from the front by pure bhakti, by taste. We can't just depend to be pushed from the back. That is, if we're pushed too much from the back, that means we're not mature enough. Yes? So the taste is the thing that's supposed to pull us, not the suffering. Suffering helps, in case you forget. In case we're stupid, yeah, that's always there. Fall back, you'll fall back on a bed of nails. Oh, I forgot there was a bed of nails back there. Yeah, Krishna reminded you. So you just run away from the bed of nails, you go forward. Right? Does that make sense? Otherwise, you know, I've got Nama Bas. I just go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, ha ha ha, Hare Krishna. That's Nama Bas. So I shouldn't join ISKCON because then I may make Nama Parad. Now I'm a serious devotee. I chant in a distracted way. I start to find out devotees aren't perfect and offend them. Better I just, you know, never become a devotee. Then I'll be Nama Bas. No. You'll be Nama Bas forever. You'll be Nama Bas Das. And you'll be a Kanishta Nama Bas for, you know, eternity. You know, so, you know, you can't just stay motivated by suffering forever because it's impure. Jnana means I understand the world of suffering. You know, sometimes a devotee is struggling and they take shelter in jnana. Oh, I'm attracted to the material world. You know, I have to remind myself it's bad. Maybe I'll go down to the crematorium and, you know, just sit there for a day and, you know, just see how bad it is. That's okay as a temporary fix, but it's not the process of bhakti. You know, jnana is not the cause of bhakti. And so don't ever think that just knowing the world is miserable is going to cause bhakti. It doesn't. Bhakti comes from the kripa of the Vaishnava in the heart, which pulls us to Krishna out of attraction, out of desire, right? So, you know, sometimes a brahmachari or men in general, they're disturbed by women, so they can go read the fifth canto where it says, woman's heart is like a razor and don't trust her and all these things. You get your fix, so that gets you through the day, but it's not going to get you through your life. You actually have to be attracted by Krishna to be free from that desire, isn't it? So, okay, you had a girlfriend, she drove you crazy, you know, you can thank her, I'm a brahmachari, I never want to get married, thank you, you drove me crazy, I you know. But it's not going to last unless you actually have a taste, right? It's not, you know, one bad girlfriend is not enough to be brahmachari for life. You actually have a taste, you know. Hare Krishna. Yeah. So, you know, it helps. Definitely it helps, right? Gyan helps. We need it. But it's not going to be, it's not going to bring us to Krishna's feet. That's not the process. Someone else had a question? Comment? Yes.
Referring to the gender of also, how do you understand that the gender is playing so he gets what he wants, but on the contrary, the crocodile did not ask for anything, but he gets liberated.
Say that again. Somebody asked for...
The gender
asked.
He asked...
To get free from the crocodile.
So he got free. Crocodile had not asked for anything, but he got liberated.
Uh-huh.
How do you understand that?
That was a trend. He's asking, Rajendra prayed, he got free, crocodile didn't get prayed, he got liberated. Better deal. He got a better deal. That was worked out long, thousands of years earlier that this would happen, and so, you know. So the crocodile had some, you know, past piety, sukriti, devotional service. It was meant to happen. But we can also understand, if we want to take it at face value, Krishna can bless anyone anytime he wants, anytime he feels like that. You know, you can't. Like one time a devotee asked, well, why did Mahaprabhu give Braj Bhakti to inhabitants of Kali Yuga? The least gives the highest thing that he never gives to the most unqualified people. The answer is because he feels like it. There is no other answer. You know, another answer was given, well, he's very wealthy. So if he's going to give in charity and he's wealthy, he's not going to give 10 rupees. He'll give 10 crores. Why is Mahaprabhu giving 10 crores of love to everybody? Because he has it. And now he feels like giving it. So... the mood of the devotee is, Krishna, I am so fallen. I don't deserve your mercy, but I know you're merciful and you will show your sidelong glance of mercy on me. I know that. I know that. I expect it. I'm waiting for it. I know one day it's going to happen. And therefore, I never give up Krishna consciousness because I want to be around when the mercy comes. If I give it up, then that one day... Krishna's looking for him. Where are you? I don't see you. I finally decided to give you mercy, and now you're gone. So, that's Ashabanta, hope against hope. And that hope sustains us. Because, okay, so we hear the story, look at the crocodile got mercy. Maybe there's hope for me. You know, maybe I, Jagai and Madai got mercy. Maybe there's hope for me. You know, I thought I was bad. I know I'm not as bad as they are. They're definitely worse than I am. Maybe there's hope for me. So I stick around every day. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Krishna, I'm over here. See? I'm over here. I'm still chanting. Like I'm really fallen. And, you know, it's been so many years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. You know, Krishna, these same anarthas, they're still there. You know, anytime you want, it's fine. You can give me mercy. So you all here in Vrindavan, why are you here? To beg for mercy. And Shastra says one of the symptoms of surrender is you should expect it. And I think it's very important that we should expect mercy. Don't ever think Krishna's not going to give it. Because if you think he's not going to give it, he'll go, okay, that's what you think? All right. Your words will come to pass. I will not give it. I will make your words true. I will not give the mercy. You know. But so surrender is expect it. I expect it. I have hope against hope. I know you will give mercy. You're so kind to the fallen souls. I know somehow or other you're going to give me some realization, some taste, something. So if you have that expectation that Krishna, I'm waiting and I know you're going to give it, Krishna likes, he likes to give it to that devotee. He says, oh, you're waiting for me? I don't want to, you know, keep you waiting, you know, like that. So we can learn that from that story. Yeah, fortunate crocodile. The time had come for mercy, yeah. So go on crying, praying, crying, praying, serving, crying, praying, serving, chanting Hare Krishna again every day. These rounds, they're not good. Keep praying, better rounds. Krishna, one day, Shudhanam, I'm waiting one day, please help me, Shudhanam, Hare, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, you know. Day after day after day after day after day after day after parikrama after parikrama, Bhagavatam chapter after Bhagavatam, day after day after day. Why, Krishna? Because I want some mercy. And I expect it, and I know you'll give it. Because if you don't give it, I'm useless. I can't do anything. That's the mood of a devotee. And Krishna, you know I'm useless, and I want to be useful. And how can I be useful if you don't give me some mercy? If you give me some mercy, I could do something. I was in Los Angeles. Prabhupada, this must have been 1972, Prabhupada said, this movement will go on. It is predicted, every town and village. Whether you stay or whether you go, it will go on, with you or without you. He said, but if you stay, you will get the credit because Krishna will use you. So if you're showing Krishna, please, 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 Krishna will say, oh, here's somebody I can use. There is a nice story. We'll end with a story. Otherwise, I could go on forever. So, as you know, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was an impersonalist, and when he met Mahaprabhu, they had discussed the Atmarama verse of the Bhagavatam, and Sarvabhauma explained it in so many ways, and Mahaprabhu explained it in so many ways, and all different explanations. So when Sanatana Goswami met Mahaprabhu, Sanatana Goswami said, could you explain the Atmarama verse to me as you explained to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya? And Mahaprabhu said, I can't remember what I said. He said, I'm a madman. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is a madman. And you want to hear what two madmen discussed? I don't even know. I don't even know what I said. And he said, how could you not know? And he said, Sanatan, and then he said, Sanatan, you have a desire to know, so I'll try to say something. And then he explained. How many ways did he explain it? 64. He explained 64 different ways of understanding the Atmarama verse. None of the explanations that he gave to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, all different. Then, Sanatana Goswami, how did you do that? Mahaprabhu said something amazing. He said, I don't even understand what I just told you. He said, but your desire to know was so strong that Krishna made me speak something that I don't even understand. You had a need to understand Krishna consciousness in a certain way that I don't even understand. So Krishna made me speak what you needed to hear and I don't even understand. And to substantiate this, there's a story about who actually knows the Bhagavatam. So they went to Bharadwaj, a deity of Lord Shiva, and they asked him, who understands the Bhagavatam? And Lord Shiva said, I understand it. Aham Vedmi. Sukhaveti. Sukadeva understands it. Vyasaveti Navetiva. He may understand it, he may not understand it. That amazing? Or is that amazing? The person who wrote Srimad Bhagavatam may not understand it. So what does this mean? When we say, Krishna, you know I'm useless, but I want to be useful, so I need mercy. And then Krishna gives mercy, and you do something, and you look back, and you think, how did I do that? I can't even believe I just did that. Or you give a class, and at the end of the class you think, I didn't even know that before I gave class. How did I say that? Where did it come from? That's mercy. So we are mercy cases. We understand by mercy we can do amazing things. And we expect that mercy and we expect to do amazing things. Right? It's not my qualification. If I expect it to be my qualification, forget it. What can I do? So that's the idea. Sanatan, 64 shlokas, I don't even understand them. But you wanted to know this, so Krishna put those words in my mouth. There are conditioned souls out there who want Krishna consciousness. Krishna will empower you to give it to them. You will say the right thing and do the right thing by His mercy if you're willing. The last thing I will say, which is also amazing. When Srila Prabhupada went to New York, he was very successful, as you know. Do you know how difficult it is to preach in New York in 1965? No illicit sex, no intoxication, to a generation who was dedicated to illicit sex and intoxication? How do you do that? It's like going to Wall Street and saying, poverty! Take a vow of poverty. You'll be happier. You know, it was like that. Yeah, that's really going to work, right? So one of Prabhupada's godbrothers said, Prabhupada had no desire other than the desire to serve as Guru Maharaj. He was a clean slate. And therefore, he could be empowered. Because power can only come to one who will allow the puppeteer to pull them. If the puppeteer is pulling up and you pull down, it doesn't work. It's called resistance, right? Guru pulls this way. Guru Maharaj, don't pull so hard. I don't think I'm ready. Can we take it slow? So Prabhupada wasn't like that. I'm just a puppet. He let the puppet pull. Bhaktisiddhanta was the puppeteer. So his heart was clean. And so he was empowered. And so one of Prabhupada's godbrothers said, okay, we accept that he's Shaktivesha Avatar. He had to be, because nobody did this before. No one in the history of Gaudiya Vaishnavism did this. He had to be empowered. Who was he empowered by? He said, Nityananda. Because only Nityananda can save the most fallen souls. So, then he said, if Nityananda Prabhu personally came to New York in 1965, the result would have not been any different. It would have been exactly the same, because it was Nityananda's Shakti working through Prabhupada to save those people. That's the meaning of being empowered. And Prabhupada said, it's not my qualification. I am not qualified. I am not qualified. It was Nityananda Prabhu who did it. So if we become clean slates, even though we're very fallen, we've done many sinful things, Krishna can drop His mercy, and then we'll say something wonderful, we'll do something wonderful, and people will become Krishna conscious. Prabhupada once said, the movement is not going on because of you, it's going on in spite of you. In spite of you means we're getting in the way. You know, somehow Krishna will use you. That's the point, you know. Okay, this is all Krishna has. It's us. And He has to spread the movement, so He has to use us. I mean, who else is He going to use, right? So Krishna will use us. If you're ready to be used, clean your heart, Krishna will use you. He'll give you mercy. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. He'll use whoever He can use, and He'll empower them to do amazing things. Yes? You agree? So keep chanting, keep praying, keep parikraming, keep reading, keep associating, keep taking prasadam, worshiping the deity, and expect mercy, and it'll come. And you'll do amazing things, and you'll get amazing realizations. Amazing realizations. Krishna is happy to give it. Krishna wants to give you these things. And one day you'll walk in the temple, and you'll look at the deities, and you'll say, oh my Govinda, I've never seen you so beautiful. Then you'll know, I've got the mercy. That's it. What could be greater gift than that, isn't it? Thank you very much. Very happy to be here with you. I'm always feeling separation from Vrindavan, and I'm very honored to have spent a few days, and I have to leave for other business, but Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Go Premanandi, Hare Hare Bol. I brought some books. I have 7 left, and Vrindamani's in the back if you want to get one. It's my first and only book. If you want to get one, she's in the back. She can help you. Hare Krishna.